Everything used to create this podcast was put together by the staff at Backyard Paradiso, including the Pogtated outline and support materials. They even choreographed some of the examples and climate impact on the market served. They then handed everything over to our artificial intelligence helpers. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Imagine, just for a second, writing a check for $50,000.
Oh, man.
Right. You're paying for this flawless resort-style paver patio. It looks amazing. You are completely thrilled. But then, maybe 6 months later, you're standing at your back door watching a construction crew drag this massive industrial wet saw across those exact same beautiful pavers.
Just literally slicing them open.
Slicing them open and tearing them out. So today we are talking about why your backyard is basically a ticking financial time bomb if you don't treat it like a master plan city.
I mean, it is the single most expensive mistake a homeowner can make. And unfortunately, we see it happen every single day.
Yeah, so welcome to this deep dive into the Backyard Paradiso custom outdoor living systems approach. This is an unscripted, candid conversation between the two of us, and I really want to set the tone right now because our mission today is to just strip away all that glossy lifestyle marketing language, you know?
No fluff today.
Exactly. You, the listener, are an intelligent homeowner. You're about to spend real money. So we are going to approach this exactly like an expert-level estate contractor would. We're focusing purely on the engineering, the utility infrastructure, the code requirements, and, well, the physical coordination it takes between all these systems.
And if we look at the core of all this, the central argument we need to establish right up front is that outdoor comfort is a systems problem. It's not a product problem.
Right.
Honestly, if you take away only one thing from our deep dive today, let it be that distinction.
Okay, but let me push back on that a bit.
Yeah.
Because if I'm a homeowner, my brain usually operates in a very linear, you know, product-focused way. Like, indoors, if I have a leaky faucet, I go buy a washer, replace it, and the drip stops. Fixed. It's binary. So when I step onto my patio in July, and I'm just sweating through my shirt, my brain says, I'm hot, let's go buy a pergola. Problem solved, right?
I mean, you bought a product that solves exactly one problem, which is overhead sun.
Okay.
But think about the reality of actually being out there.
Yeah.
What does that pergola do about the prevailing wind that keeps, you know, blowing your napkins off the table?
Nothing.
Right. What does it do about the mosquitoes that come out at dusk or the muddy ground from yesterday's rain or the fact that your patio is pitch black at 8 p.m. and you have nowhere to prep food without walking your dripping plate of raw chicken all the way back inside to your kitchen?
Yeah, it does absolutely nothing for any of that.
Exactly. Each of those issues, the wind, the bugs, the lighting, the cooking, they require a distinct, specific solution. And here is where the systems part really comes in. Those solutions don't exist in a vacuum. They interact with each other physically, aesthetically, logistically. You just can't solve them in isolation without creating this domino effect of unintended consequences.
Which, I guess, brings us to the actual architecture of the space. Because from what I'm seeing in the Backyard Paradiso framework, you can essentially break down any outdoor environment into five distinct layers.
That's right. And it's really helpful to categorize them by what you can see versus what you can't.
Okay.
Because the visible layers are usually what homeowners naturally fixate on. So layer one is your overhead structure. In this tier of premium design, we're generally talking about an aluminum-framed pergola.
Right, often with those motorized louvered roofs.
Exactly. Then layer two is the ground surface. So that's your pavers, your composite decking, turf, poured concrete.
The stuff that looks pretty in the catalog.
Yeah, exactly. Then you have layer three, which is the perimeter treatment, basically how you manage the edges. So privacy fencing at the property line, glass railings on a deck, or those motorized zip screens that drop down from the aluminum pergola to physically block the insects and wind.
And layer five is the shade and weather supplements, right? The fine-tuning elements like infrared heaters or outdoor ceiling fans.
You skipped layer four.
I did. I skipped it on purpose, actually, because layer four seems to be the real villain in our story today. Layer four is the utility infrastructure. The gas lines, electrical conduits, low-voltage wiring, plumbing.
It is the villain, but, I mean, only because it's invisible. Human nature dictates that we plan for what we can see, right?
Yeah, we obsess over the paver color.
Exactly. We obsess over the color or the sleek lines of that aluminum pergola. And as a result, the utility infrastructure, which is the literal lifeblood of the space, gets planned last. And that invisible layer creates the most heartbreaking, expensive problems of all.
Which brings us right back to that wet saw I mentioned at the top of the show. Let's talk about what you call the most expensive lesson in this entire category, which is the installation sequence. Because if utilities are forgotten until the end, you're walking into a trap.
You really are. It is the absolute chronological imperative of building an outdoor space. There is this rigid, completely unforgiving sequence that you must follow.
Okay, lay it out for us.
Step one is always the utility rough-in. Before a single shovel of decorative dirt is moved, you trench and run your gas, electrical, and plumbing lines.
Got it.
Step two is your ground surfaces, so building the deck, framing, or laying the paver base. Then step three is the overhead structures, like erecting the aluminum pergola onto its footings.
Okay, so rough-in ground, then overhead structure.
Right. Then step four is the perimeter and enclosure, your screens and railings. And finally, step five is the finish elements, the appliances, the furniture, landscape lighting fixtures.
So when a homeowner ignores this, when they, you know, treat their yard like a shopping cart instead of a construction site, what exactly happens? Give us the autopsy of a failed sequence.
Well, let's go back to your wet saw example. Say you just paid for this beautifully designed, flawless paver patio.
Okay.
It's perfectly leveled. 6 months go by, summer hits, and you realize it is entirely too hot to actually use. So you call a contractor and say, hey, I want an aluminum pergola. Well, a structural pergola needs deep concrete footings.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now the crew has to bring in wet saws, literally slice through your finished paver patio, dig huge holes, and pour concrete. And then they try to patch the cuts with replacement pavers.
And let me guess, the new pavers never match the old ones because the original ones have been baking in the sun for 6 months.
Exactly. The weathering makes them completely different colors.
Yeah.
You've permanently scarred a premium surface, all because you built out of order.
Ouch. Okay, here's another one I saw on the source materials that just sounds painful. Imagine you build a stunning new composite deck. You love it. A year later, you decide you want an outdoor kitchen out there, but your new grill needs a gas line. If you had run that gas line while the deck was just wooden framing, it would have been a trivial, like, one-hour job. But now, you're either running an ugly, exposed steel pipe across your yard, or you are literally prying up your brand-new, expensive composite decking boards.
And if they use hidden fasteners, good luck getting those boards back down without them looking warped or just completely damaged.
It's a nightmare.
Or consider a smaller, but honestly equally infuriating example. You install a gorgeous landscape lighting system to watch the edges of your property in light. The next season, you decide to put up a privacy fence.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yep. The fence goes up right in front of the lighting fixtures, completely blocking their sight lines. The light just hits the wood and stops. You wasted the money on the fixtures, and now you have to dig up and reinstall half the system.
So it's not just about what order you build things in. It's about the actual physics of how completely different materials and systems interact on the site.
Exactly.
It's almost like an immune system rejecting an organ if they aren't perfectly matched.
That's a great way to put it. We call it the choreography of components. You have to coordinate these pairings on paper, down to the inch, before ground is ever broken.
Okay, let's look at a few of these heavy hitter combinations. What about pairing a pergola with an outdoor kitchen?
On paper, it sounds simple, but in reality, the gas and electrical lines have to run underground and come up precisely at the center of that future kitchen island. And they absolutely cannot cross the underground structural footing positions for the pergola posts.
Right.
If they collide in the dirt, you have a massive, very expensive rerouting problem.
Wow. What about a deck paired with glass railings and post lighting? Because I know that sleek, modern glass look is incredibly popular right now.
It is, but you have to think about the physics. Solid glass panels act exactly like ship sails in the wind.
Oh, wow.
You know, they catch all the aerodynamic force, which means they require immense structural support at the base. You can't just screw them into standard deck boards. The deck framing underneath must have specific heavy-duty blocking installed.
And for the listener, blocking just means wedging extra thick chunks of wood horizontally between your standard floor joists, right? To give those heavy glass panel posts something solid to anchor into.
Exactly. The framing basically has to be over-engineered. And if you want lighting on those railing posts, the low-voltage wire has to be drilled and routed through that dense framing before a single deck board goes down. If you lay the deck boards first, you can't run the wire invisibly.
Makes sense. Okay, here is one that fascinated me. Artificial turf sitting right next to a paver patio, all surrounded by a fence. I mean, this is the dream setup for a family with kids or dogs.
Oh, absolutely. But if they aren't choreographed, they fight each other.
Yeah.
The transition line where the turf meets the pavers requires a very specialized edge restraint system, so neither surface shifts or crumbles over time. But more importantly, it's about water. The crushed stone subbase for the pavers has to be incredibly rigid and sloped to shed water. Turf, on the other hand, needs specific permeability to drain straight down. If you don't engineer compatible drainage slopes for both, water pools right at the seam between the two.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, you don't get a nice yard, you get a swamp.
And what about the fencing in that scenario?
The fence post footings have to be dug and poured before either the turf or the pavers reach the property line. Otherwise, you're ruining those perfectly manicured edges with an auger just to install the fence post.
It really is a game of 3D chess. Let's talk about lighting.
Yeah.
I see people installing permanent roofline lighting on their gutters, and then they do separate landscape lighting in the bushes.
And if they aren't planned together, it is a visual disaster.
Really?
Yeah, they are two separate low-voltage systems. The roofline lighting makes the architectural silhouette of your house glow from above. The landscape lighting sculpts the trees and pathways from below.
Okay, sounds nice in theory.
Right. But if you don't coordinate the color temperatures, meaning making sure they're both the same warm white, for example, and coordinate the beam angles on paper, they visually compete. They cross each other out. So instead of a cohesive ambient oasis, your yard looks like a harsh, overlit stadium.
Speaking of stadiums, what if a family is literally installing a sports feature, like, say, a batting cage along with turf and lighting?
That's a great example. The structural posts that hold the heavy cage netting have to be perfectly integrated into the turf's drainage plan.
Sure.
And the lighting is incredibly tricky. You have to position the fixtures high enough and at very specific angles, because if you do it wrong, the netting itself casts thick, grid-like shadows directly across the hitting zone when a pitch is coming in.
Oh, making it impossible to see the ball.
Exactly.
Wow. And finally, what about integrating something massive, like an accessory dwelling unit, an ADU or a guest house into the site?
An ABU fundamentally changes the property's flow. Its placement dictates all the utility routing for the entire yard. You have to plan shared paver walkways that naturally connect the main house to the ADU, unify the lighting scheme so it looks like one property, and cleverly use fencing or landscaping to give the guests privacy without making their unit feel isolated, like a prison cell.
Okay, I'm going to step in here on behalf of the pragmatic listener, because everything we just discussed sounds amazing. It sounds perfectly engineered, but I'm doing the math in my head, and doing all of this at once sounds like a $150,000 check. What if I don't have that budget today? Am I just doomed to have a disjointed Frankenstein yard?
Not at all.
Yeah.
In fact, phasing the project over 2, 3, or 4 years is the practical reality for the vast majority of homeowners.
Okay, good.
The secret is that you pay to design the entire master plan today, and then you build it using a strict three-phase approach.
Let me see if I can deduce this based on your sequence rules. If the invisible stuff is the killer, then phase one has to be foundation and infrastructure, right?
Spot on. In phase one, you install your ground surface, the pavers, or the deck. And crucially, you pour the concrete footings for the future pergola right now, even if you aren't buying the actual pergola for another 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you rough in all the underground utilities to their future destinations while the dirt is still exposed.
Got it. So phase two would be the structure and enclosure. The aluminum pergola finally goes up onto those pre-poured footings, and you install the zip screens or the glass railings.
Yes.
And that leaves phase three for the kitchen, lighting, and finish. You bring in the grill, hook it up to the waiting gas line, and mount your light fixtures.
Exactly. The absolute magic of this approach is in the infrastructure phase. It's what we call the art of stubbing.
Let's define that for the listener. Stubbing utilities just means running the pipe or the wire to its future location, capping it off, and leaving it buried or hidden until you actually need it in a later phase,
okay.
Right?
Yes. You run a capped gas line to where the grill will be. You run an empty electrical conduit from your main breaker panel out to the pergola footings. You run low voltage wire out to the far dark corners of the yard, even if there are no plants there to illuminate yet.
Makes sense.
You run water and drain lines for a future sink. You install that structural blocking in the deck joists for future glass railings. And you leave an empty conduit pipe from your house soffit down to the ground transformer for future roofline lighting.
Okay, stop right there. I really need to push back on this. You are asking me, as a homeowner, to hand a contractor real money today to bury empty plastic pipes and dead wires in the mud for features I might not build until 2029.
Yeah, I know how it sounds.
If my contractor suggested that, my immediate cynical thought is, he's just upcharging me for nothing.
I hear that all the time. But let's look at the brutal financial reality of this. Running an empty PVC conduit pipe under a dirt yard before pavers go down costs a few hundred dollars. It takes them 20 minutes. It is incredibly cheap when the ground is already open.
But if you wait...
If you wait until the pavers are down, tearing them up, trenching the hard-packed earth, running that same pipe, and trying to replace those wetted pavers is going to cost you thousands of dollars. As we discussed earlier, it will never look the same.
So the few hundred dollars is actually an insurance policy against a $5,000 retrofit.
Exactly. And I'll take it a step further. If you tell a contractor you want to stub a gas line for a kitchen you aren't building for 3 years, and they look at you like you're crazy, run away.
Really?
Yes. It means they do not think in systems. They are a product-level contractor who just wants to sell you a patio today and wash their hands of you tomorrow.
That is a phenomenal litmus test for hiring. Now, let's pivot slightly, because even if you plan all these systems perfectly, the rules change completely depending on where you live.
Yeah.
Geography and climate totally dictate the engineering.
Absolutely.
Backyard Paradiso operates in 7 very distinct markets, and the choreography changes for each. Let's start down south. Naples and Orlando, Florida.
Right. So in Florida, outdoor space isn't a seasonal luxury. It is daily infrastructure.
Mm.
The intense heat, the aggressive insect pressure, and those daily afternoon rainstorms are just constants.
Yeah, you can set your watch by the rain there.
Exactly. So an aluminum louvered pergola and motorized zip screens with heavy insect mesh. Those aren't optional luxury add-ons. They were the absolute baseline requirements for the space to be usable.
Wow.
Furthermore, in Naples, the coastal salt air means every single piece of hardware must be highly corrosion resistant. And everything must be structurally engineered to withstand hurricane wind loads.
Makes total sense. Let's move to markets like San Antonio and Denver. These are what you'd call extended season markets, right?
Right. In San Antonio, you have intense, punishing summer heat. So heavy shade and active ventilation are the primary drivers of the design. But Denver is fascinating. Yeah, you have 300 days of sunshine, but you get incredibly rapid temperature swings. It can drop 30 degrees the moment the sun goes behind a mountain. So adaptability is key louvers that open and close and high-output infrared heaters. But the most crucial engineering detail in Denver is the frost depth.
Explain that mechanism, because I know that destroys patios.
Well, the ground in Denver freezes down to 36 inches deep.
Wait, 36 inches?
Yeah, 3 feet. And when water in the soil freezes, it expands. That expanding ice acts like a slow-motion hydraulic jack underneath your pergola footings. If your footings aren't poured deeper than 36 inches, basically below that frost line, that hydraulic jack has enough pressure to heave the entire concrete pillar upward.
Oh my God.
It'll literally snap the aluminum frame of your pergola and shatter the patio.
Which brings us to the true defined season markets, Romeuville, Illinois, and Secaucus, New Jersey.
Here, you have 4 distinct seasons, which heavily compresses both the window of time you can actually use the space and the window of time a crew can construct it. Snow load is the governing engineering factor here.
Right, because snow gets heavy fast.
Exactly. The aluminum pergola must be rated to hold thousands of pounds of heavy, wet snow accumulation. Frost heave is, again, a major hydraulic jack issue for paver bases here. And because the construction season is so short, your phase scheduling has to be managed flawlessly, or your phase 2 will get pushed to the next calendar year.
And lastly, Colorado Springs. You're up at an elevation of over 6,000 feet.
Right, 6,035 feet. Elevation changes the literal physics of the space. The UV exposure at that altitude is incredibly intense. It essentially cooks materials.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So fade resistance for all your composite decking, your fabrics, and your powder coatings becomes the absolute primary concern. You also have fierce winds coming down off the mountains. So wind management dictates the structural anchoring and the screen specifications.
Okay, so we have this perfectly sequenced, climate-engineered, beautifully choreographed system. And now, I just have to sigh, because we have to talk about the red tape.
Yeah, the fun part.
The regulatory reality. Nature isn't the only thing trying to ruin your plans.
It's the unavoidable hurdle. There are 2 main regulatory bodies you have to navigate. Municipal permits and homeowner association architectural reviews.
Let's start with permits, which are slow, but at least they follow some kind of logic.
True. Almost everywhere you need permits for overhead structures, for any underground utility work, and for fencing above certain heights. You're adding structural load to the earth and tying into the city's gas and electrical grids.
Right.
A proper permit process typically adds 2 to 8 weeks to the timeline before you can even break ground. It is slow, it is frustrating, but it ensures the engineering is safe and legal.
And then there's the HOA, which doesn't always follow logic.
The HOA is often significantly stricter than the city. Their architectural review boards can dictate material types, exact color palettes, maximum structure heights, how close you can build to your neighbor's property line, and they are notorious for restricting lighting styles.
And this has to be done first, right? Because I can imagine the absolute heartbreak of spending $5,000 on architectural plans, mentally picking out the furniture with your spouse, getting emotionally invested, and then Karen from the HOA board vetoes the entire project because your pergola is 12 inches too tall.
It happens all the time. And it invalidates the entire design after the homeowner has mentally committed. It absolutely must be handled before designing.
Okay, so what does this all mean for you, the homeowner, as you start this journey? What truly separates a systems-level design conversation from a contractor who is just trying to, sell you a product out of a catalog?
A product-level contractor walks into your yard and asks, "How big do you want the patio?" A systems-level contractor operates off a very specific checklist. First, they evaluate your use patterns.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, are you out there for quiet morning coffee or throwing massive nighttime dinner parties? Because that dictates the sun orientation, the lighting, and the layout. Second, they look at adjacency to the house. If your indoor kitchen is right inside the back door, your outdoor kitchen shouldn't be placed in a spot that creates a bottleneck traffic jam right outside it.
Makes sense. Third, they demand a multi-year vision, right? They want to know what you might want in 5 years so they can stub the utilities and bury the pipes today.
Yes. And fourth, they have a brutally honest conversation with you about your maintenance expectations. If you are someone who hates yard work, they aren't going to let you design a system that requires constant sealing, trimming, and upkeep.
It's about designing a space that serves you, not a space that you have to serve.
Exactly.
And as a reminder to you listening, if you want to navigate this process without the wet saws and the torn-up decking, you can absolutely consult Backyard Paradiso for site-specific design and installation guidance that relies on this exact systems framework.
Because when you do it right, it fundamentally changes how you experience your home. And this actually leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over.
Oh, what's that?
We've talked a lot about planning for the physical changing of the seasons, but think about how your outdoor system will adapt to the changing seasons of your life.
Oh, that's a great point. The wide open, heavily fenced in space you designed today for toddler playdates and swing sets that might need to evolve into a quiet, heavily landscaped sanctuary for your retirement in a decade.
Exactly. But if you plan the system right today, with the infrastructure buried and waiting, that future evolution won't require a demolition crew or a second mortgage. It will just require a simple change in the finish elements.
A master plan city right in your backyard. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.